The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check it out. My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
Welcome back. We enter into hour number two with no fear because Carla Dawson is here.
Oh, I love that.
The gloss is dishing out strong opinions and we...
Shockingly. You are so nice to put up with me, boss. I'm telling you that right now.
Yesterday, it was the Cowboys advancing to a record of 7-3 with the defeat over the Carolina Panthers. It was 33-10 the final. But really, this was not a story about the Cowboys' victory and more about the struggles of Carolina. Carolina drops to 1-9, worst record in the NFL, and yet they don't have their first-round draft pick because, of course, they traded it away to get Bryce Young, number one overall in the draft. So they are in a tough spot.
So that is just, you've got the worst record and you're not rewarded for it.
Yeah, that's miserable. Because
that's
at least from a fan's perspective is you get to some point in the season, you say, oh, we're going to tank for Caleb, or we're going to tank for somebody. But they don't even have their pick.
We're going to tank because.
Just because we are. That's what it is.
Oh,
well, the reason they're tanking or losing is they really just don't have that much talent on the team. And Bryce Young is running for his life. I mean, yesterday, the Cowboys were in his face all day
Cowboys
long.
Have an outstanding defense.
Yeah, 7 sacks. Cowboys love to go after the quarterback, but the Panthers gave Young no protection at all.
No, but you know, Bryce Young had some company yesterday, so he had 3 interceptions on the day. He joins 4 other quarterbacks with 3 interception days, C.J. Stroud, Aiden O'Connell, Jared Goff, and Sam Howell. I mean, what was in the water yesterday?
It was a 3-interception day.
And there were some wins in there, but Bryce Young was not on the side of that. And I feel badly for him because I think it's very difficult to recover when you are the number one pick coming out of the draft and you get into a system that is A, not a good system. A, I don't believe they have the right coach in Frank Reich, and there's no weapons around him. How do you recover from that? Are you forever branded as a bust, or do you think he's going to get a chance at some point? What do you make of what's going on in Carolina?
So he will get more chances. The question really is, can they get talent around him and a good coaching scheme around him? I mean, the awkward thing about Frank Reich is he just entered into a 4-year contract, and he's now a half season in with the Panthers, and already there are fans calling for his head. They want Frank Reich out. And it would be a very fast firing. I mean, there he is halfway into the season, and you got a 4-year agreement, and fire him right now? I think it's something Dave Tepper is going to consider. Look, amongst the owners, Dave Tepper may have the quickest trigger finger of any owner in the NFL. And
he's
when you look back
at
his history, 2019, he fired Ron Rivera when he came in. 2020, he had a coach named Perry Fuel.
What?
Yeah, and after an 0-4 interim run, he was gone. 2022, Dave Tepper dismissed Matt Rhule.
Oh, after paying him $85 million or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was an expensive dismissal. And then, of course, he had an interim coach when Rhule was fired named Steve Wilks, who he also let go. And now he's brought in Frank Reich to a 4-year agreement, who is subject to getting fired now. It's just a tough turnstile of coaches there in Carolina.
And Steve Wilks at least got him to 500. They were 6-6 under him. I mean, he should have rode that train because this is pitiful. Oh, my gosh. So are you thinking the issue is from the top, Tepper top?
Well, clearly in hindsight, they haven't hired good coaches. I don't see when people say, oh, the problem is ownership, they're usually saying, well, ownership's too intrusive, or ownership's telling them who to draft, or ownership wants this kind of player or that kind of player. I don't perceive Dave Tepper's intervening in that way, but the coach selections here have just not panned out at all.
Well, no. And the move to give away your number one is that's brutal.
Yep.
Wow. I don't know how you recover as a franchise.
Yep. Although in his defense, I mean, I don't know that it was Tepper who orchestrated that, but giving away a number one to get Bryce Young, nobody panned the Panthers for that. Nobody said, oh, my gosh, they're overpaying to get Bryce Young. They all
it wasn't
said,
like Daniel Jones.
They were all saying, oh, my gosh, they got Bryce Young.
Mitch
they got
Trubisky.
Bryce Young was considered the best quarterback in the draft almost universally. That's proven out not to be true. It looks like C.J. Stroud was a much better choice. He fell to the Texans. But it's, of course, everybody now wants to say, well, what a stupid choice. But there were a lot of people who praised that decision. I did not like it.
I honestly didn't either.
You didn't either. We were talking about, well, it felt uncomfortable to put that much draft capital in taking a quarterback who didn't have the size and had lots of question marks around him. And yet they made that decision. They took the bet. They swung for the fences. And at least at this point, it doesn't look like it's working out. I just hate to draw a big conclusion about Bryce Young. It just doesn't seem fair at this moment.
That's a great point, David. I don't think it is fair at this moment. So I think jury's out on Bryce Young. I feel really badly for him because he's really going to be seriously injured if they cannot get some protection for him.
Yeah, he's not big physically. No. And coming into the league, the concern was, can somebody that small stay healthy? Well, he'll answer the question with that offensive line. It will be answered for him. The answer will be no, not with that offensive line. If he had a good offensive line, he does see the field so well.
He's smart. His arm talent is good.
There were a lot of reasons he was taken number one overall. It was not a stupid choice per se. There were a lot of teams that would have loved to have had Bryce Young. But you have to surround the quarterback with talent, and there's not much talent on that team.
Duly noted.
Okay, one of the other games I really wanted to get to, I'm very excited about this upcoming showdown in the AFC South.
Is anyone excited about showdowns in the AFC South?
Well,
this year we are.
It's hard to believe, but two teams that have not been good for a long time are atop the AFC South. You've got the Jaguars right now with a record of 7-3. The Texans just a game behind them at 6-4. Texans beat the Jaguars earlier in the year, so if they win now, if they win this coming week, Texans would be tied with record but have the tiebreaker with the head-to-head matchup. So this is a big-time game, and it's amazing we sit here in Houston, Texas, that anyone would be talking about the Texans as a potential playoff contender. Nobody envisioned that possibility this year. They're ahead of schedule in the rebuild under D'Amico Ryans. But break this down. I mean, we've got Texans versus Jaguars. Could you really see the Texans beating the Jaguars twice in a season and taking first place in the AFC South?
You know, I'm going to say it depends on which Jacksonville team shows up. Mm. And I'm not going to say that about the Texans because they gave Carolina, who we were just talking about, their only win. So we have seen a lot of up and downs with the Texans. And I think the reason we've seen it is because we have a rookie quarterback who is leading the league in many, many categories. So he's doing fantastic. We also have a rookie head coach. And so they are feeling out what works and what doesn't work. And there's been a huge bounce back, 3 wins in a row after that loss at Carolina that was coached very conservatively. And Bobby Slowick, first year as an offensive coordinator. But I think given all that with the Texans, that they have a rookie quarterback, a rookie coach, they are fairly consistent in the way in their record shows it, 6-4, with not a ton of huge big name weapons. But what I love about the Houston Texans is they play complementary football. And here's what I mean. We have seen many games this season where C.J. Stroud put the team on his back and he did pinpoint, he marched the team down with 46 seconds, scores the winning touchdown, go. March the team down, gets them in field goal range, go. He has done it. He's put him on his back. And he has had a very good excellent touchdown to interception ratio until yesterday. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals. C.J. Stroud throws 3 interceptions. First half was beautiful. Second half was ugly. And do you know what I love about what I see in Houston? And I haven't seen this yet in Jacksonville. The defense said, basically, you know what, CJ? We rode your back for a lot of these games. Mm. Our turn. You're not having your best day. We're going to do it.
Yep.
And the defense won the game yesterday. Beautiful deflected pass that, and in the final seconds that Kyler Murray could have won it for Arizona, and the defense came on. That's complementary football. So I believe that's what the Texans have put into a culture, and I really like what I see because they have all kind of reasons to be inconsistent, and they're not. They're putting it together. Jacksonville, we see them get blanked by San Francisco. We see them get spanked by the Texans. We see them come out and go undefeated in London, taking care of the Bills, and I can't remember the other team that they played, maybe the Ravens. They're all over the map,
yep.
Which we're not really seeing that in Houston. The losses have been very close. There's been, other than the first two games of the season, figuring it out, they've been very close. I think that I like the Houston Texans' consistency, but it just really depends which Jaguars team shows up. Does that make sense?
Well, it certainly does, and it will be exciting to watch. For the first time, the Texans, in a long time, really can win the division. And the Jaguars are a team presumably on the rise as well.
Sure.
So these two teams, actually, when you think about the makeup of the teams, both being very young teams, they may be in contention and rivals in this AFC South
for
a little while here.
In Jacksonville, you know, they've got Calvin Ridley at receiver. They've got some much more experienced receivers than the Texans do. But this Tank Dell, little Tank Dell out of University of Houston, is lighting it up like he is Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I mean, my gosh. So I love what Houston's doing with seemingly what would look like as a straight roster, much less Nico Collins. I mean, they're making it. Dalton Schultz is a great pickup. Fantastic.
And Will Anderson on the defensive side
of
the ball. Obviously,
goodness.
They took him number 3 overall. You still feel good about that pick?
I feel great about it. And, you know, it's hard as a defensive end. He has 3 sacks, but he has 13 quarterback hits on the season. It doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. But do yourself a favor. Watch 51 and watch what he does. He is so disruptive. Offensive lines cannot ignore him.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to look at the fact that so many teams have lost their starting quarterback. It's been devastating, actually. But which team amongst them can still make the playoffs? Can still make the playoffs? We'll look at that up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, you know what's happened across the league is we've lost a lot of number one quarterbacks to injury. Aaron Rodgers, it happened, 4 plays into the start of his season.
With the Jets, yeah.
So disappointing for the Jets, and then that put the Zach Wilson train out there, and obviously we've all seen where that is headed, and the Jets don't look like they're going to go anywhere. My question is, when we look at all the teams that lost their number one quarterbacks, who's the most likely still to make the playoffs? The teams that feel like they could still be somewhat in contention here. I mean, the Vikings had a miserable start to the season. Cousins led them back. They were on their way, and then Kirk Cousins got injured. Josh Dobbs now sits there at quarterback.
A great surprise. Not surprise. That doesn't sound right. He has been great for them. And, you know, Kirk Cousins kept them close in games.
Yep.
Remember, they were losing all those
when
in the beginning.
When they were losing, it was only by a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, they've got a pretty good base team.
And Kevin O'Connell's doing a fantastic job as a head coach.
So you can pick them as that team. I'm looking for the team that has lost their number one and will still make the playoffs. You got the Jets. You got the Vikings. I mean, the Browns lost to Deshaun Watson. They had, they eked out a win yesterday. And then the devastating loss of Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, that was a team that would have gone to the playoffs, I think, with Joe Burrow. But when you look across these teams, is there one you think will still make the playoffs? Or is it just, are we in a league now where if you lose your number one quarterback, you can't recover, you can't make the playoffs?
I think I'm more inclined to say the latter.
Yeah.
That it would be hard. However, you know, last Tuesday, I was reading headlines, Browns dead in the water. Literally, that was the headline, the front of USA Today sports section.
Yep.
They are not dead in the water because that defense is so outstanding. So outstanding.
Miles Garrett has been a game changer.
DPOY. He's got to be the front runner for defensive player of the year.
So, yes, the Browns defense has been outstanding. Browns are my pick, by the way, on this. One, because the defense has been so outstanding. But beyond that, I mean, they hated to lose Deshaun Watson. for most of the season when the Browns have been winning, Deshaun has not played that well. Now, the last couple of weeks, you started to see things from him.
Yeah, he was starting to click.
That you could believe that Deshaun could be the Deshaun of old, the Deshaun that we saw when he was in Houston. But he really didn't play that well, and yet they had a good record. So, yeah, the Browns are a team to me who could eke into the playoffs with a defensive-led team. Look, they won't go.
And a good coach, a really good head coach, and really good defensive coordinator.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway, they're my pick amongst those teams that have lost their quarterback. Do I think they're going to go deep into the playoffs? No. But I think it will be very respectable if they eke their way in, and it will be a credit to that coaching staff holding it all together when they've lost their number one quarterback.
And, you know, it's so crazy when you think about any given Sunday, which we say quite a bit. Last Monday night, we were talking about AFC North being the strongest division in all of football. They were all going to make the playoffs. And in, you know, less than a week, they've gone south. The AFC North has gone south. I mean, here's what I'm saying to draftees coming out this spring. You got to avoid Ohio and you got to avoid New York. Because look right now, in 1 week, Joe Burrow's gone. Deshaun Watson's gone for the season.
That's Ohio right there.
There's Ohio. And then let's take a look at New York. Aaron Rodgers, gone game one. Daniel Jones, gone early on. Josh Allen, leading the league in interceptions. I would stay away from Ohio and New York. Go West, boys. Go West. Because I don't know what's happening back there. But how weird is this?
It is
weird. How weird is this?
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, the other thing I think is really too bad for this whole season, we talked about those four teams that lost their number one starter and might make the playoffs. But then there are these other teams that have lost their number one starter and don't appear to be in the playoff hunt anymore. The Giants, the Raiders, the Titans all lost their number one quarterback. And so it's a really hard thing from which you can try to recover. It's awfully challenging. And in the AFC North, with the Bengals losing Joe Burrow, that division is really set up well for the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens were probably on track to win it anyway, but now they're really set up. The only hiccup for the Ravens is they lost Mark Andrews yesterday to a season-ending injury, the great tight end, and clearly he's a security blanket for Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
And to lose Mark Andrews is a big setback for that offense.
Yeah, and when you look at the – yeah, no, you're very right about that, and I think that will – it's going to just put more pressure on Lamar, but he – let's see how he responds. He's having a great season.
Well, it will be fascinating to watch. I do want to shift gears and talk to you a little bit about college football because
I love to talk about college football.
Well, it was fun to hear Lance Erline in our earlier hour talking about the fate of Caleb Williams. Obviously, this has been a tough season for him. After being a Heisman Trophy winner, there were all kinds of expectations for what he would do with Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley, an offensive mastermind, but had a soft spot for Alex Grinch on the defensive side, and that has certainly held the Trojans back. The fate of Caleb Williams, I still think, and it seems that Lance Zierlein concurred, that Caleb will still go number one overall, although there are more questions about that now with the way this USC season has unfolded.
Well, I think anyone who is evaluating players, you've got to look at the team that they came from. And the Trojans were starting the season, you know, as a playoff team.
Yep.
And because of Lincoln Riley's stubbornness or being in bed with Alex Grinch for whatever reason that he was, he really did Caleb Williams a huge disservice, as well as all of the players on that team. You know, they ended yesterday in the penultimate weekend of college football. Next weekend will be the last regular season. They lost a clunker to crosstown rival UCLA.
Yep.
Okay, 38-20, not even close. It was ugly. And I kind of say, you know what? Shame on you, Lincoln Riley. Is this how you celebrate Caleb Williams coming over from Oklahoma? This is how you end his college career with a 7-5 record, no chance at a Heisman repeat, and going out like this? That's just, it's inexcusable to me. And it's either Lincoln Riley is arrogant, stubborn, or both. But he's got all the resources he could ever want at USC, and his ridiculous decision to hang on to Alex Grinch past the Cotton Bowl last season, let alone losing the Pac-12 championship to Utah, getting trounced, especially on the defensive side of the ball,
yep,
then goes to the Cotton Bowl and loses to Tulane. Now, Tulane is a very respectable program, but they should not be able to compete with the size and the recruiting class of USC, and it was an embarrassment. So really, I did not have high hopes for them leaving, so it's a disappointment. But I think that general managers, scouts, things like that will look at Caleb Williams away from the program because the kid cannot throw the ball, scheme the defense, catch the ball, block passes, and really, they needed him to do it all.
Well, I think when you have an offense that has to put up 30-plus yes. points week in and week out, it creates a pressure on the offense and sometimes can lead a quarterback to force the ball or try to do too much or stay on his feet longer than he should instead of throwing it away because you can't afford to have a drive that doesn't work out. You've got to score every drive in that kind of a shootout game, and that's the pressure he's been under. Put him in a normal context, and I do think he'll thrive. I do think he will be the number one overall pick when it's all said and done.
He's got such incredible skills. And I think you bring up, that's a great point, David. It's like when you are called on to do the impossible, to rescue what your defense couldn't do.
Yep.
And I don't blame the kids. I blame coaching. That's just, it's too much. And you make decisions that you normally would not make because you're kind of forced to. You're the savior that they're looking to. Great point.
Okay, we've got just a couple minutes. I really wanted to get to this matchup coming up, Michigan versus Ohio State. And that's a big-time matchup.
It's huge.
The loser.
This is the college football playoffs right here.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the winner likely goes to college football playoff. The loser is likely out. And so high, high-stakes game. There's been a lot of noise around the Michigan program, which we were talking about earlier. What do you think that does, or how does it affect this matchup this week?
Oh, I think it affects it hugely.
Yeah.
Because what we talked about earlier with Lance Zierlein is the Michigan, the university, the coaching staff, it's all going down to the athlete that we are the victims. We are the victims, which is, hey, take away the athletes. They didn't have anything to do with this. But being out on the field this past weekend wearing against Maryland, wearing free Harbaugh T-shirts. Like, why don't you ask the rest of the Big Ten or the rest of the CFP numbers 1 through 10 or at least 1 through 5 who is hoping Michigan drops out, how they feel if Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan football team are victims. Come on now.
Yep.
I mean, this was an elaborate scheme. We're finding out that it wasn't just kind of a one-off. It was a whole little system. And so I think the players, rightfully so, are coming out with an axe to grind, and they're going to play hard. Ohio State needs to be ready for some really mad, not necessarily legit, but they're going to be mad, and they've got an axe to grind. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a slugfest. I can't wait to see it.
Indeed, it should be. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at the fate of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Will he be back there next year, or will he be a coach somewhere else, or will he just hang it up?
You got some intel.
That upcoming next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, full disclosure, I'm still looking for an amazing gift for you. And I've discovered where I'm going to find that perfect gift this holiday season for you. I'm going to get it at Total Wine and More.
Yes.
Yes, because at Total Wine and More, you'll find gifts for everyone on your list. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love, and you'll love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly and be 21.
I'm almost there.
You'll get there.
Soon. Birthday's coming up.
Birthday girl. Why not you? Come on now.
Love it.
All right, one guy who may not be celebrating much right now is Bill Belichick. His Patriots now have the fourth worst record in the league. And they're suddenly angling
2-8.
2-8, and they're spiraling downward. And they do have their own number one pick. So they could be in the hunt for a new quarterback. Look, in the Boston landscape, there's all kinds of conversation that Mac Jones was not the panacea. He was not the guy to pick up the baton from Tom Brady. He was taken number 15 overall, and he has not performed well. Now, in his defense, He's not had a good offensive coordinator since he's come into the league.
Matt Patricia.
Joe Judge was hovering around trying to tinker with things. And now they have the great Bill O'Brien, the quarterback whisperer.
Okay, we are laughing because we're here in Houston.
Yes.
That is not the guy to solve it. The problem.
Now, we saw O'Brien as a head coach in Houston, so we know that he's not the answer. But look, in defense of Mac Jones, he's had bad offensive coordinator help. Nevertheless, he hasn't shown much.
No.
Rex Ryan calls him a pea shooter, that he doesn't have an arm and he can't shoot the ball downfield.
That I think that's really harsh.
I thought it was extra harsh. I didn't think it was necessary, but it was done. And so Mac Jones is seemingly not the answer. Bill Belichick, at least Bill Belichick, the GM, is not the answer because he's not been a great general manager. Over the last 5 years, they've not drafted well. Maybe you could make a case for Bill Belichick, the coach, but it does seem like the narrative now is that Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick at the end of the year are going to sit down and figure out a mutual parting of ways. You buy that?
I buy it.
It's sort of just time.
It is time. And I think I did hear, and who knows if this is true or not, but I did read that last March, so at the end of the season, the offseason was beginning, Kraft and Belichick sat down together and talked about, hey, as long as the team is going in the right direction, you know, we can keep this going. But when it starts going in the wrong direction, I'm going to have to make a change. And I think it was, I mean, that's very respectful. And Robert Kraft is the owner. This is clearly not going in the right direction, but he let Belichick know, like, I've got to see improvement. It's got to get better. And it clearly has gone the other way. And, you know, when you mentioned Bill Belichick, the GM, you know, he's got an unusual position being the head coach and the general manager. That doesn't happen very often in the National Football League. Chip Kelly was the last one I remember in Philadelphia. Disaster. But anyway, you know, you think about Belichick's drafting. He's had two Pro Bowlers from his drafts, and they're both kickers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not a good.
That does not work.
No.
Really hard to see him.
It's an end of an era, I think.
Going as
in
he
New
is
England.
Now, he wants to coach next year, and I do think he.
I feel like you know something.
Well, if he parts ways with New England, he will. I think he'll, based on his entire track record, somebody will absolutely hire him. I did hear. You probably, Dan Orlovsky's come out and said that he has heard that it is from a reliable source that it's almost already set up that Belichick will depart at the end of this year and that he's got another job lined up with another team. And Orlovsky went on to say, out of respect for the current coach of that team, I'm not going to reveal it. And out of respect for the fact that I heard it from a source who does not want me to repeat it.
This is very cryptic.
But it is sort of cryptic. But Orlovsky says with great certainty that it's sort of already set up. And that leads to all kinds of speculation is what team can already say, I know we won't return our current head coach and the man we're going to take in is Bill Belichick. And there's probably a short list of teams there. The Commanders certainly being one because it does seem like we're going to see the last of Ron Rivera with the Commanders. There's new ownership there.
He's lost the locker room.
Yeah,
these guys are frustrated.
It's tough. So I think the Commanders have to be on the short list. Also on the short list with lots of speculation was the Giants. But Brian Daboll is only in his second year, and it seems like he ought to get a little more latitude. You were mentioning earlier he didn't pick Daniel Jones. That wasn't his fault.
Exactly. He needs a longer leash, I think. I think he's a great mind. And you've seen the regression of Josh Allen with the departure of Brian Daboll. So get him a quarterback he can work with, and let's see how it goes.
And then another team under consideration is the Chargers, because Brandon Staley is likely to be gone at the end of this year. And goodness, if I were Bill Belichick, I would be drooling at the opportunity to join that Chargers staff or to be the head coach of the Chargers and to have Justin Herbert. I mean, look.
You don't have to develop that quarterback. He's developed.
He's ready, and there's a lot of talent already there. I mean, Bill Belichick will know how to deploy Joey Bosa to great outcome. And so, to me, that's the best landing spot for Bill Belichick to chase Don Shula's all-time wins record.
Ah, that is exactly right, because I was just about to ask you, well, how old is Belichick? Does he need to coach anymore? You're exactly right. That's what it is. It's Shula's record, of course.
He's got about 20 more wins to go.
Okay.
And that's
not going to happen in New England for a long time.
Well, if he stays in New England, it's probably three seasons to get to 20 wins. If he goes to the Chargers, I think it could be done in two seasons. And that's a doable path. And with Justin Herbert, it's very believable. I just could envision a Belichick-led team with the discipline he would bring, the processes he would bring, the whole approach. I just think he could take the Chargers into a deep playoff run. I do think if Belichick were to go there and be the general manager, he ought to have a really good director of player personnel or somebody who's a really, really good scout who tees up the draft board. Belichick can make the final decision on whom to pick, but somebody else needs to be evaluating the talent and stacking the board so that it's not left to a head coach who can't look at players year-round. I mean, this is most teams have scouting program, a general manager who are out looking.
There's a process, and it's a multi-step, multi-person process.
Multi-step and multi-month. You've got to do it for many, many months. Yeah. And how do you do it when you're the head coach of the team at the same time? It's a really hard job. Both of them are hard jobs. To be the head coach is one thing. To be the general manager is another thing. They're both really challenging roles.
And it's not working. I mean, it did work for a very long time, but you had Tom Brady.
Yep.
I mean, there's a reason. He is the only head coach in the NFL that has both those duties as the GM and the head coach.
Yep.
Do you think he would take a head coaching job that didn't include general managing duties?
At this point, I think his negotiating power is not such that he can demand that he owns that function. The only thing I do think, though, if I were an owner and I were looking at Bill Belichick, I'd want him as my head coach. And I'd say to Belichick, look, I don't think you should be the GM. I think it's too hard for one person to do both jobs. But what I would want to do is find a GM who would work well with Belichick so they're not at odds.
A symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I mean, if he hadn't been dismissed similar with poor performance in with Las Vegas, I mean, Dave Ziegler obviously came from New England to go over there. He has GM experience, but I don't think that Dave Ziegler strikes me as a great outcome right now as a general manager. He was part of those bad drafts in New England. And then
bad drafts in Las Vegas.
He's been with Las Vegas. I mean, Nick Caserio would be on a short list of names because Caserio and Belichick have worked well together in the past. But even under Caserio, the drafts in New England weren't that impressive.
And up until this year in Houston, the drafts have not been impressive. This year, he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. So it's really hard to say who that GM would be, but I do think you've got to get a GM whom Belichick will be comfortable with. They won't be fighting and at odds with one another. But I do think it's imperative that there be a separate GM, that you don't give both the GM and the head coaching role to Bill Belichick.
Agree with you. How about that? Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch. I just don't see a whole lot of other teams where it's a perfect fit. And then that does raise the next follow-on question is, well, who's going to take Belichick's place in New England, which is the next fun domino to fall?
Do you think Josh McDaniels gets it?
Well,
he's on the unemployment line right now.
That's right. It's interesting to me because my
with
view
his big fat wallet
of that is if Belichick, wherever Belichick goes to be head coach, he's likely to want McDaniels as his offensive coordinator. I mean, the best OC that Belichick ever really had was Josh McDaniels. Now, they were both doing it with Tom Brady, so it's awfully hard to dismember, was it Brady or the coaching staff? But it will be fascinating to watch one of the great storylines of this offseason to come.
And it certainly feels like the bloom's off the rose for all of the coordinators in New England.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the track record has been miserable. Geek. All right, we will be right back to listen to the Boston Gloss Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are days away from Thanksgiving, and football on Thanksgiving is always a great delight.
Oh, it's the best.
We've got some good matchups. You know, one of the funny things is that for years, people have been asking, Why do we have to watch Detroit on Thanksgiving Day? Because the Lions have been miserable for so long, and they will play this Thanksgiving, and they're actually a pretty good team now.
Oh, my gosh. They are a fantastic
team. The narrative has shifted radically.
No kidding. So, do you know, this is so much fun. So, Cleveland, who everyone said was going to be dead in the water when Deshaun went down.
Yes.
The last, but they're not. They won again yesterday as well. Both were ugly games, Cleveland and Pittsburgh and the Lions and Chicago, but pulled it out. The last time that the Browns and the Lions won at least 7 of their first 10 games, and the Lions have now won 8, was 1969.
69? Goodness.
And do you want to know what was happening then?
Tell us.
Let me tell you the state of the world that was happening the last time these two teams, Cleveland and Detroit, went 7 out of 10 or better. The Jets were the defending Super Bowl champs.
That's hard to believe.
That's actually kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that's after Joe Namath's big win.
Yeah, I'm going to shock you even more. Apollo 11 had just landed on the moon. Hello.
Yes.
And here's the best of all. Oh, my gosh, you were going to love this. Guess who was a senior at Annapolis High School in Maryland?
I cannot tell you.
Bill Belichick.
Ooh, a senior in high
that's
school?
How, yes.
Think how
that's
long
how
it's
long
been
it's
there
been.
For the Lions and the Browns. It's been a long drought.
So good for those fan bases. Man, oh, man. So this should make your Thanksgiving Day a lot better.
Well, Detroit sits at 8-2. They are at the top of the NFC North. And the second-place team in that division, the only team really in striking distance, are the Vikings. But the Vikings, of course, lost Kirk Cousins. I just can't see the Vikings rallying here. It does seem Detroit is well on its way to the NFC North crown, and they will face Green Bay. They will host Green Bay at home. Now, Green Bay comes off a good win last week where Jordan Love seemingly outplayed Justin Herbert, and the Packers defeated the Chargers. But I just don't see the Packers giving the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff much of a contest.
No, because I really think Brandon Staley, head coach of the Chargers currently, is so stubborn. The Lions and the Green Bay offenses had record-setting days versus the Chargers. And that was yesterday for Green Bay. So it's not Green Bay. It's the Chargers. It's kind of like, it's not me. It's not you. It's me.
It's me.
It's them. Yeah.
All right. Another matchup, of course, is a long-standing rivalry on Thanksgiving Day. It's the Commanders at Dallas. Now, the Cowboys have been exceptional at home. They've really defended the home turf very, very well.
I think Dak's having one of his best seasons, if not his best season.
Well, Dak has been a different player since they came off the bye week. He has really performed at a high level. They've gotten Brandon Cooks involved in the offense a bit more. Jake Ferguson, their tight end.
Oh, my gosh. What a great surprise that's
been. It's been an amazing get. Look, last year's draft was just outstanding. Ferguson taken in the fourth round overall. He is making a mark. The Cowboys were willing to let Dalton Schultz walk in large part because...
And I'm appreciative of that. We have him here in Houston, and I like him.
Schultz is a quality player, no question. Just the Cowboys have to allocate cap room, and they love Dalton Schultz. I mean, Dak looked at Schultz as a true security blanket. Schultz was always fine in the middle of the field, sitting down in zones. Dak loved Schultz, hated to see him go, but you only have so many dollars you can spend. They let him walk, but Jake Alexander has stepped up and done really great work for the Cowboys. And, of course, the Commanders are coming off a really disappointing loss.
To the Giants.
To the Giants.
Like a big loss.
Yeah.
The Giants put like 31 points on the Commanders.
So this should be an easy win for the Cowboys. Although this is a rivalry game. It's a divisional game. I'll bet you the Commanders.
Anything can happen.
Commanders will play them closer than it should be. And then, really, what might be the best matchup of Thanksgiving Day will be the 49ers at Seattle. So 49ers going on the road. It's always tough to play at Seattle.
It is a tough place to play. It's so loud.
Yeah, Seattle's coming off a disappointing loss. So they will lick their chops, regroup. And they face a 49ers team that looked like they were perfect yesterday. I mean,
well Purdy was perfect.
Yeah.
He got a 158.3 passer rating. That's perfect. I mean, look at his line. 21 of 25, 333 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Like, I guess that is what a 158.3 passer rating looks like. That's amazing. And, he's the first 49er to do that post that pass, perfect passer rating with 20-plus passes. Joe Montana did it in 1989, but with 19 passes, which I think is funny how they keep track of these kind of things. Who figures out these numbers?
Well, Brock Purdy was asked, what do you think of your QBR? And his reaction was, I don't really know how they calculate that thing.
I'm with him.
And who does, right?
Yeah.
But it is an indicator of your performance, and he has performed really, really well. Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams, they're back. And boy, what a difference it makes for that offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, when Deebo Samuel was out, it was a different deal. That was their three-game losing streak. So that will be a great game. And I know Geno Smith left yesterday with an elbow injury. It looks like it's just a bruised elbow. He should be good to go on Thursday. Hopefully it's a short week, though. So, and I'm sure he would like to, I'm sure he's got some fire after that tough loss yesterday.
Well, he will be hosting the 49ers, and that is a 7:20 kickoff, a late game. So that will be fun to see. Then on Friday, the other...
Oh, my.
Yeah, we got the Dolphins at the Jets. Somehow the Jets keep finding their way into primetime. Obviously, that was due to the fact that everybody thought Aaron Rodgers would be leading the Jets deep into the playoffs. That is not the case.
Oh, gosh.
So the Jets,
we're going to have to watch the Jets again.
We're going to have to watch the Jets again on Friday.
Tim Boyle. Woo.
What's
Here
that?
Here we go. Tim Boyle.
Yeah, Jim Boyle. And then Trevor Siemian off the bench, and who knows where they go from there.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what to say. And you know what? Honestly, I'm going to be curious to see Miami. I am going to watch that game, of course, because we feel differently about Miami.
I'm higher on them than you are.
You are. And I would love to hear why, because I look yesterday, they barely beat the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. Now, they've got an interim coach in Antonio Pierce. They're down to their Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue as their quarterback, and he had an ugly 3-interception day yesterday. If it is not for Jalen Ramsey, who just came back from injury, he had 2 interceptions, including one basically at the buzzer that sealed it. The Raiders win that game.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders go into Miami with their complete mess of a season. I mean, Antonio Pierce is riding the ship because they love this guy. To me, all this says is Miami's a pretender. Miami's a pretender. They're beating up on the teams that they should beat, but they are losing to teams above 500. Talk to me. Tell me why I should feel better.
Yeah, Dolphins sit at 7-3, so their record is notable.
Their record is fantastic.
And then, to be sure, they have not beaten winning teams. But what I give them credit for, just they passed the eye test to me. I mean, they're... Tua's throwing the ball all over the yard. They've got lots of talent. I love their receiving core. I love the speed on that team. I think Michael McDaniel's creativity is intriguing. And I do think clearly they're going to be a playoff team. I guess you can't say clearly, but they're at the top of the AFC East with a 7-3 record. I think they're on track to make the playoffs. And when you mention, and you're right, they were lucky to get out with a win against the Vegas Raiders.
I felt so
Raiders
bad for
yesterday.
The Raiders. They really deserved it, but O'Connell, you can't turn the ball over.
Well, maybe
times.
Not, but I see, I don't just, to win ugly as they did against a Raiders team, which is playing really hard right now.
Yes, they are.
I mean, they've won 2 in a row, and it's clear those guys feel very passionate about Antonio Pierce, and they are, I mean, I don't dismiss the effort of the Raiders, and therefore to beat or to have an ugly win over Las Vegas, I don't think there's any shame in that, because I don't discredit the Raiders' effort and will to compete and compete at a high level. Guys like Crosby are exceptional.
Yes.
And look, Devontae did have a touchdown yesterday. So
they're still not using him how he should be used, but that's okay.
There's talent on that team.
Yeah, there is.
Sadly, yes, they've lost their starting quarterback like a lot of teams, but they play tough. And
well,
so
he was benched.
Anyway, I think just when I look at that Dolphins team, I think they've got real explosiveness. We have not seen a lot from them defensively. But adding Jalen Ramsey here in the midseason,
that's
great. A heck of a big-time pickup. And you saw it yesterday. I mean, he is a difference maker on the defensive side of the ball. Quarterbacks are going to be nervous about throwing the ball that way.
Yeah, for sure. But here's what I'm seeing if I'm Miami. I'm worried that we have the weapons that you just described. We had to sweat it out at the buzzer with a 3-interception Aiden O'Connell under center.
Yep.
That should not be the case. But you know what? Until they stop bullying bottom dwellers, I'm not a believer.
All right. You've heard it from the gloss. And you've heard it from us. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SportsMap Radio.
Happy T-Day, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. What are you looking forward to eating the most?
Trying a fried turkey for the first time.
Fried turkey.
Crazy.
With the gloss. All right, thanks so much for being with us. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SportsMap Radio.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.